It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than too soon. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, things kids can't do in school, because a lot of kids have gone back to school.
Yeah.
They start earlier than they do here in
the
East.
Yeah, I know. They do.
So we'll talk about that. An update on password safety and scamming scammers. Quick news about the show. Wednesday, October. Jeez, I've been wanting to say October. That's August.
Yeah, it's only August.
I know. I'm trying
stop
to...
Stop rushing it. No, stop it. I'm trying to enjoy the summer.
I'm trying to get it over with. Not the summer, just a lot of other things. August 23rd, Joe and I will be on the Anthony Cumia Show on Compound Media to discuss scammers and our upcoming appearance on American Greed. You can watch us with Anthony on CompoundMedia.com. So that should be fun.
Amazing.
What are we on at 5, Joe?
Yeah. The show's at 4 to 6. We'll be in a 5 to 6, 7 segment.
5 to 6, 7, 8, whenever.
No, 5 to 6. But still a very good show. Very good show.
Yep, 5 p.m. Eastern. So you can check that out. Let's do a little comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
So as of the recording of this show, and live, where you're listening to it live, things have calmed down a skosh between us and North Korea.
Just a skosh.
Things are heating up on other areas,
mm-hmm.
because why a quiet day? There's always something to do. It's like Game of Thrones, with no midgets. There's no Peter Dinklage. That's the only thing we're missing.
Or dragons.
We might have dragons.
Oh, we might?
I'm not ruling dragons out.
There's certainly fire.
There's certainly fire and fury. So, but there's still, tensions were very high last week between North Korea and the United States. Now, every year, this time of year, North Korea ratchets up their rhetoric because we like to do military exercises with South Korea, and they don't cotton to that. So every year, it's kind of like Ramadan. It comes every year.
And they're
people,
just jealous.
People are probably fasting, but in this case, to store food because they don't know what's going to come next. But, yeah, so it happens every year. What was different, though, is as Kim Jong-un was saber-rattling, our president was saber-rattling. Joe likes to say, we have a different president, and we certainly do.
Oh, yes, we do.
We have never had a president who saber-rattled back quite like President Trump. It turned into... a saber contest. I mean, the comments back and forth. It was like, really, fellas?
A saber swinging contest? Yes.
It really turned into a saber swinging contest.
You'll never see Dennis Rodman again.
And everybody went, but Trump was like, great.
Yeah, man.
Trump's like, I like him. He was on my show. He did very well. Hated to fire him. I'll trade you a Donald. Screw it. What was his name? I'll trade you a Dennis Rodman for a Gary Busey, but ugh.
Would you really?
Who would I rather have, Rodman or Busey? That's a good one.
Yeah, you just scared me. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe Rodman.
He seems a little bit more
stable.
On an even keel. Yeah.
Not when your vacation destination is North Korea. I wouldn't call that stable, Joe. But he was relevant more recently.
Yeah, but that's being an attention whore, don't you think?
No, I was talking about his
going to North Korea.
Oh yeah, but I was talking about his NBA titles.
Oh yes.
So he was relevant. He was at the top of his game more recently than Gary Busey was at the top of his game.
Yeah.
So which is why maybe I would take Rodman.
Okay.
But both a hoot.
Yeah.
Both a hoot. Don't want either one at the house.
No.
So anyway, so then Kim Jong-un says, well, you know what? I'll see your saber there, and I'm going to launch some missiles at Guam. And by the way, we also think he has nuclear missiles now, and we also think it's possible that it could hit the United States. So everybody was on edge.
And meanwhile, Guam's going, whoa, wait a minute, what did we do?
Great place to go on a vacation.
can get there.
If you can ignore the radiation, great times. Not going to build a resort yet. Wait and see how this all turns out. But people were on edge last week.
Sure.
Everybody was, and you probably should be.
Yeah.
We didn't know how this whole North Korea thing that now is going to turn out. Now Kim Jong-un has backed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his annual backing down? Is it because Donald Trump talked tough? I don't know. But it seems like the tensions are lessened this week, so we can move on to more the next disaster.
I think we put a little scare into him. I think he goes, "This guy's
possibly
nuts."
But he's always back down. He's always, I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
Maybe he was eyeballing Guam as a vacation resort for himself.
You know, I don't know. Huh. I really don't know if Trump gets credit. I mean, but then it's like, well, he spilled the milk, so he's cleaning it up. Like, because he also made it more tense than it's ever been. But whatever. Yeah. That's not the point of this. The point was everybody was pretty tense last week.
Yes.
So you know, I posted online. I guess we can't let Bi-Guams be Bi-Guams.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I'm not looking to open my...
You should be banned there.
Oh, stop it. I'm not looking to open my HBO set with it. All right, relax.
Goodness.
It's a Facebook comment. Settle down. Settle down. The stuff you put on Facebook isn't necessarily what you're putting in your tight five. All right, relax. I didn't dust this off and go, well, there we go. That'll get me, Kimmel. I knew.
Tight five.
Exactly.
Put that in there. Oh, you deserve to fail.
But, you know, for some people, that's their closing joke. So...
Right.
You know, pip dust that off. Go, all right, I've talked about the girls. Now we'll do my little Guam joke. Thank you. Good night.
Meanwhile, people are tossing old fruit at me.
Exactly. So, you know, depends. I thought it was a pretty innocuous joke.
Totally.
A pun, really.
Yeah.
So would you say the joke was political in nature?
No, I think it stinks in general.
I didn't ask your assessment of whether it was good as a comedian merits.
It's so on the edge of being political. It's just like very scraping.
That was on the edge?
No, but I mean scraping.
No, I don't think that was on the edge.
I don't mean it was edgy. I mean it was like scraping the teeniest bit of surface of political.
So I get a feedback from a fellow comedian. So glad to see everyone still has a sense of humor, considering our kids may be in the middle of a nuclear war thanks to two unfit leaders and what you want to call
it. You gotta relax.
I thought that was a little heavy-handed.
From a comic.
From a comic.
Who should know better.
Stick out.
Yeah, I thought
you gotta relax.
I thought that was a little much for the punny joke.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, but the children! You could, really?
The children write their own jokes.
That's the problem with today's kids. They don't write their own jokes. They expect us to write it for them.
Yeah. Hacky little third graders.
Hang on, put together an act if we have to write it for you.
When I was growing up, I was doing knock-knock jokes in the third grade, and that's the way it should be.
That's right. I had a tight five by the time I was 16.
Exactly. We didn't read joke books. We wrote joke books.
That's right.
That's the problem with these kids today and their participation joke books.
They're all spurled.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Can we make jokes in a time of crisis?
I'm actually thinking. I had a tight five by the time I was 15.
And what happened? Haven't seen it since. That's good, Chappelle. Can you make mom drive you to the thing? The
YDA
the
show. I did the YDA show. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Going down memory lane with Joe.
Yeah.
What does the D stand for?
Youth Development Association.
Oh, I was thinking like YMCA. I'm like, what the heck is a D?
No, Greenland YDA.
There you go. Very, very low.
All right, sorry. Anyway.
I think we can make jokes at a time of crisis.
I think that we should.
I think we should. Do we all agree on that?
Yeah, because it's a self-defense mechanism. It always has been for me.
I think it's our gift to society.
Yeah.
Because it really everybody's running around with their hair on fire, and maybe justifiably so. I'm not saying they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But that's kind of our gift to society, where we can let everybody catch their breath. And go, all right, relax. Let's try to find some humor in this awful, awful situation.
Watch any MASH episode.
You know?
I mean,
well, but that wasn't happening during the Korean War.
But
that was happening 20 years later.
Yeah, but
so that wouldn't fall under the too soon.
But what I'm saying, you know, but it basically
same with Hogan's Heroes.
No, yeah. but I understand what he's saying. Is that
the premise
Hawkeye would be making jokes in the middle of while they're getting bombed. It's trying to defuse the situation. I just said bomb and defuse. It's trying to like calm people down and like stop the circle of just. Hysteria and laugh for a second and then reset and maybe take it down just a notch. I think that it is our gift to society.
I think if the laughter stops, it's going to get worse for people.
Yes.
I think people are going to become more unhinged. There's a lot of unhinged out there. Mm-hmm. I think it just becomes, once you lose your sense of humor,
yeah,
I think things get worse. And I think, and I've said this, I don't want to make this a Donald Trump thing, but I do think that is one of his fatal flaws. The man does not have a sense of humor.
Not a discernible one at
no.
this point.
Not at all, no.
No.
Right, and I think especially in that job, you need a sense of humor because there's so much coming at you. You need to be able to step back and go, can you believe this? Laugh at the situation. And you got to be able to laugh at yourself because everybody, no matter who you are, is going to take pot shots at you. Every president has dealt with this. I'm sure when Washington was there was some jackass making jokes about him. Sure, you developed a nation, but what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just the thing, man. You got to have a sense of humor for that gig.
You're ruling the country. When are you going to do something about the teeth?
And I think with Trump, we see because he doesn't have a sense of humor and he can't laugh at things.
Yeah.
He's always angry, and it's not serving him well at all.
It's not a good look.
No. We don't. We want our presidents to be serious, but we also want them to have a little bit of levity to be able to pull us back from the edge.
Right. Well, it displays a little bit of perspective and humanity.
Right. But I think a lot of people don't have a sense of humor. I think that's why comics are so important, because we do have a sense of humor.
See, this is what Trump needs to do. He's got to get like a jester like the king used to have. When the king would make a speech and it was about
he fired the mooch.
I understand. But
I love the mooch.
Yeah, I love the mooch too.
The guy from the neighborhood in a good nice suit.
Comes out with a toothpick in his mouth. Let me tell you what we're going on.
That was my favorite week of the whole 6 months.
But
when he kissed his hand and threw it at the audience, I was like, oh my God,
this
is going to be fun.
Guy's rules. Kids being born, he don't care. He's hanging out with the president. He loves that guy.
But they should get like a jester, you know, like during a press con, you could do a somersault.
That might be
like
Bannon's
that.
Next gig. So, but you guys think it's a little crazy that a comedian would make that comment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So then I had this comment on my page. How about we all chip in and get Donald and Kim Jong-un celebrity makeovers and call the whole thing off?
Because that might be some of the tension. They both have very bad hair.
Yes, that's what I'm joking on. They both look ridiculous.
Yes.
They both look ridiculous.
If you look good, you feel good.
Yeah, but, and it kind of plays into this whole saber rattling thing.
Yes.
Is that an oh yeah? So a friend of mine wrote that. This is a kid I've grown up with. He's seen me perform a couple times. And now is not the time to be bipartisan. Lots of blame to go around, but our president inherited this part, and you're trying to make jokes out of a grave situation. And he does he has the emoji with the four
hand slapping
yes,
head.
Yes,
he could have had a V8. Do these people know what you do for a living?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh my goodness! I mean, I just don't understand why they're having a cow about the fact that you're making. Yes, it. Everybody knows. Duh! I know it's a tense situation. I'm trying to diffuse the tension. Take it back a notch so we can think for a second.
Now it's very interesting because a couple of weeks ago on the. On the internet portion of the show, we were talking about somebody who wanted me to just stick with the jokes and not make serious comments.
Right.
Now you have people here who are like, no, man, no jokes. It's like, you can't try to please everybody.
You can't win.
Really? You expecting to?
I try to please nobody. But, I mean, I don't think that comment was partisan.
No.
And I've been very careful. Listen, I'm not a fan of our president. Less so this week than in a lot of weeks. I'm not a fan. But with the North Korea thing, you know, like I do with a lot of these foreign things, I kind of pull back. I want to see the way things played out. I wasn't taking shots at, you know, what he was doing with the policy. I was laughing at the things he was saying because it was like all of a sudden he was like an action hero in a Rambo movie. You know, between, you know, we're locked and loaded. Fury and whatever he's done. It's like, oh my God, settle down there, Schwarzenegger.
Like,
relax.
Dude,
like he's
going to
rip off the sleeves and he's got his tie and he's ready. Like,
I loved it.
I'm sure you do.
Finally.
I'm sure.
Finally, somebody's going to sit there and
I understand. But it's also very funny. He's a 71-year-old man that deferred from the military 5 times.
He's got his general pal with him with all firepower, so it's cool.
But when a general says, they go, all right, he's a general. He's kicked some buttons.
He's
time.
I
expect it from a general. I don't really expect it from a businessman.
I fired people. I'll fire at people.
Yes.
Sorry, that was a really bad Trump.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was.
It's like, when did Jackie Mason become president?
Can happen.
I just think. Forgot how long this segment's supposed to go, Joe.
15:47.
All right, we're not going to start the. I wanted to start. We'll do this another time. I'll do a little tease here. Because we're not going to have time to get to it now.
Okay.
But there's a new documentary about comedy in about relating to the Holocaust and the concentration camps, and I wanted to get that in this segment.
Wow.
But we won't be able to do it justice. I also have a story about comedians fighting terrorism, which I want to get to.
Yeah.
In a future. Did you guys read that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting stuff. So we're going to get to that. But I think people are expecting. I think people need to relax and let comics be comics, and also let us be serious.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you also do that when you're in the actual club too?
You know, 10 situations. Like, we've been at war since 2001. Obama got made fun of. Bush got made fun of.
Right.
Nobody complained. Hey, man, don't make fun of the president.
It's like people have been doing that. That's national sport.
That's the gig.
Yeah.
And the Korean War never ended.
Yeah.
It's just like at an armistice right now.
Right. It's this very tense situation between the two of them.
Yeah, so I guess we shouldn't have been making jokes about any president since the end of the Korean War, which was the 50s. I mean, people need to relax. And I think part of this, I think the comic goes a little too far, and I think part of my friend here, who's a big Donald Trump supporter, is stop defending your boyfriend. Relax. Relax. On a comment like, a celebrity makeover, nobody's attacking the president. And, it's just an innocuous little joke.
Yeah, you know me. Look, we fight like cats and dogs over policy.
I've seen cats and dogs get along.
Funny. But when you goof on, like, make a joke, it's like funny.
Listen, funny. We talk about funny always takes precedent. You know, funny.
And it made them both look silly. So how is it partisan?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, I think he was mean because I was attacking our president. But, Donald Trump, we've been fighting terrorism, and Donald Trump wasn't being funny, but would attack Obama daily.
Yeah.
The president, if he can't handle it, he needs to learn to handle it.
Yes.
Because it's going to make his job, he's going to be a lot happier.
He doesn't look like a happy man.
You got to remember, he's was surrounded by, yes man. Well, not actually, because basically they were telling the truth. But in business, he never had that big sense of humor. He's always been the guy.
No. But here's what I say to you, and then we got to get out of here. You say he's a businessman. Yes, but I always say, but the difference is he never had an executive board to answer to or shareholders to answer to. It was a mom and pop thing. It was a big mom and pop business. But whatever he said, he said, and that was it. And you weren't going to argue somebody, and there was nobody to answer to.
Yes.
Which, this is a different type of gig. So I still think maybe the businessman argument holds merit, but it would have to be somebody who had shareholders and an executive board, because that's what Congress is.
Yes.
You can't just, and the president hopefully will learn this, you can't just force Congress to do what you want.
You can't shoot from the hip.
Every president would like it. Obama would have loved it. W would have loved it.
Sure.
Clinton would have loved it. Every president would love it. It just don't work that way.
No.
All right, take
Maybe
a break.
You should, but there you go.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
School's starting up in a lot of places. A couple more weeks here. But we like to go through this every so often. Things that we could do in school that today's kids can't.
Yeah.
Some of it makes sense. Some is like, really? That's a little much.
Yes.
What?
No, not really. It's a little much.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah, sometimes schools get a little out of control.
Sometimes they go a little too snowflakey.
They got to relax, yeah.
Sometimes we're not just cutting out snowflakes. We're turning into snowflakes.
Yeah.
And we're creating snowflakes.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you go, well, that was pretty mean. Maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Yes.
So call teachers Mrs. or Ms. or Miss, excuse me, M-I-S-S.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, a female teacher was either married Mrs. or unmarried Miss. And whether or not she was single was considered considered everybody's business.
Yes.
Was it? I didn't know it was everybody's business. Now most women teachers opt for Ms. regardless of marital status. Some even ask to be called by their first name. Mr., of course, hasn't changed. I was unaware of that, but I think it is true. I think more of them are Miss now.
Yes.
That's fine. In any case, I thought that was always the best, the best way to go, or the more proper proper etiquette.
But it wasn't when it was either Miss.
Mrs. or Mrs. Or Mrs.
But I guess that meant, I didn't even think about marital, I guess. I don't have a problem with it.
A lot of kids, back when I taught, a lot of kids, no matter what I told them, they called me Mrs. anyway. And I was like, that's
they
my call, mommy.
They called you other things, too.
Yeah, I know, behind my back, though.
No, not so much. Stand in the corner. Kids weren't forced to wear dunce caps anymore in the 1980s, but everybody remembers hearing the words, go stand in the corner. Now, however, standing in the corner is widely considered to be cruel and even corporal punishment. All right, first of all, not corporal punishment. We did that story last week. No.
Totally not.
Standing in the... All right, dunce cap, never wore a dunce cap.
No.
Was sent to the corner.
I never recall in school having a dunce cap.
No, well, they said by the 80s.
Yeah, I never.
Well, so maybe the 70s for you. I don't know. I don't remember anybody wearing a dunce cap. I was sent to the corner.
I think the dunce cap was earlier than that time, but sent to the corner was still popular. Sent to the corner
is essentially a timeout.
It's more than a time. Well, yeah, you're right. It is. But it's a timeout where everybody's looking at you for being a dummy. And the reason we don't have dunce caps now, we can't afford them in the budgets. Can't afford that.
But you know what? Standing in the corner, you really had to push the issue to get to stand in the
corner. I think standing in the corner is fine.
Yeah, I did too.
I think if you're being that bad, standing in the corner
because
is fine.
Because that's usually when you're sent there. When you're like, you're not getting it. Go stand in the corner. Go stand in the corner.
Actually, can I come back and join the show now?
No. But you're right. It is essentially a timeout.
Yeah.
It is.
I guess they don't have any more, so not to stigmatize the kids.
Too bad. If you're behaving that badly, go stand in the friggin' corner.
This is what happens. Every action has a reaction. If you're going to act up in class and not behave, stand in the corner.
Yeah.
I don't like to stand in the corner. Then shut up.
Yeah. I mean, standing in the corner is fine. And to consider corporal punishment.
That's ridiculous.
Nobody's getting hit.
Yeah, they're not going to make ISIS stand in the corner of Guantanamo Bay. Yeah,
maybe they should
sit in the corner and think.
Listen,
about it.
Listen, unless you're catching forearms in the corner, you know, unless somebody's like throwing.
Right. Yeah.
It's not the boards at a hockey game. Relax. Just stand there and chill out. All right, leave school for lunch. Ditching campus for lunch was commonplace back in the day.
Oh yeah.
If you didn't have a car, chances are you knew somebody who did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But not so much anymore. Many of the schools have banned this policy in an effort to prevent car accidents or other types of teenage trouble. I remember riding in freshman year of high school. I could ride home. I would do that because I was cool. My bike home. Sophomore year of high school, could ride my bike home. Junior year, they took it away, and then they made it only seniors could go out for lunch. So my junior year, let the kids go out for lunch. I mean, I get the safety, but if the parents aren't that concerned, you don't be that concerned.
We used to go to a pizza parlor, and one of our deans would walk in, goes, "What are you guys doing here?" And we're like, "Pete, you know how the food tastes back at school."
You called him Pete?
Yeah, Pete. But
really? Wow.
So much better than Miss.
Anthony Cumia used to mention him on the show so much when he was on NEW that he actually got the word back to Anthony. Can you leave me alone, please?
It's funny.
Oh, no, that's funny.
But he was a cool guy. He was a good guy. And we told him, I was like, "Mr. Pete," I go, "the food is awful back there. We can't, don't let it." He goes, "All right, I didn't see you." I didn't see you.
No, I don't think we should take away kids going out to lunch.
No, why?
If the parents are fine with it,
yeah,
I think that's a parental decision.
Yeah, it's a little nuts.
All right, so there you go, kids. You can listen to this in the lunchroom. All right, more show.
This is Davin's Den.
All right, let's do a little password safety. It turns out the advice has changed on how to keep yourself safe and secure and not being hacked. The author of an influential guide to computer passwords says he now regrets several of the tips he gave. Well, I know I've regretted giving a couple people tips.
Yeah, because you only gave the tip.
I did.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a bad representation. I could have given so much more.
Yeah, it really was. Mm.
You speak like you've been there. I've heard things.
Well, yes. Yes.
All right. Bill Burr, not the comedian.
All right. I'm just going, "Hey, I'm going to change the password."
had advised users change their password every 90 days and to muddle up words by adding capital letters, numbers, and symbols. So, for example, if the word was protected, you might change it to PR0T, the number 3, lowercase c, uppercase T, number 3, lowercase d, 4.
I'm going to remember that.
Well, yeah, because you do, because it's kind of like the word protected.
Yeah.
If you were a robot, and they didn't design you with the full capacity of the alphabet,
and you use threes instead of e's routinely,
like calculator fun, like when you wrote the word hello on your solar calculator in 1982, that was going to be all the rage.
Yes. H-E double hockey sticks.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, you're naughty. The problem, he believes, is the theory that came unstuck in practice. Mr. Burr acknowledges that his 2003 manual was, quote, barking up the wrong tree. Current guidelines no longer suggest passwords should be frequently changed because people tend to respond by making only small alterations to their existing passwords. For example, changing monkey 1 into monkey 2, which are
monkey
relative.
Monkey C,
monkey 2. Look at us. which obviously are easy to figure out. Furthermore, he said it's been demonstrated that it takes longer for computers, because they have these computers that they use to, like, attack passwords to hack you, that it takes longer for computers to crack a random mix of words such as pig coffee wandered black than it does for them to guess a word with easy-to-remember situation substitutions such as broken, but spelled B-R-0-K, number 3-N, exclamation point.
Yeah.
The more often you ask someone to change their password, he said, the weaker the passwords they typically choose.
Yeah, just the minimum to get by.
Especially if you're doing it every 90 days. Because you just get frustrated with it. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this again?
Yeah. And he said, we all have so many online accounts, the situation is compounded, so it encourages behavior such as password reuse across systems. So you go, all right, I finally remember this one. I'm going to use it everywhere. Britain's National Cybersecurity Center issued its own guidance on the matter in 2015. It recommended that organizations abandon a policy of pushing their users into regular password resets, and they should support the use of password managers. We've talked about this. Programs that securely store hundreds of different logins, avoiding the need to memorize each one.
That would be brilliant.
That would. They said it's good that the password advice is now being updated be based on evidence, said Dr. Stephen Murdoch from the University of College of London. This is completely different now.
Yeah.
Essentially make sentences. That's what they're telling you to do.
Yeah, crazy sentences.
Yeah.
Like the stuff we say routinely.
Right. Joe loves Hillary. You know, that would be that would be a crazy sentence.
Yes. The computer wouldn't believe that.
Yeah. Computer goes, really? Does
malfunction.
He?
Really? Malfunction.
Do you use the same password across multiple platforms?
Only in one instance. I have a whole bunch of different ones, and I have secret places where I write them down. So that
do you?
I do.
Do you use them?
I'll alter them slightly.
I'm guilty of it too, and I think this new advice makes more sense.
It does.
All right, we'll do some scam and scammers.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
All right, let's do some scamming scammers.
Yes, my stories.
Yes, Pip's favorite part of the night.
Yes, yes, yes. Really? Really? Yeah,
really?
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 Yeah, I don't know how that intro sounded. All right. Whatever. I'm not really sure about that. All right, so we'll go to April 28th, 2017. Remember when we last left off, Jane had gotten kicked off Facebook.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's going to put a strain on the relationship.
Yeah, really?
Because it's harder to communicate.
Yeah, that whole, you know, smoke signals and rubbing rocks together and all that stuff. It's
plus, you can't see when I'm on Facebook and I, you know.
So she can pop in and go, hello, my king.
Yes, it's the type of respect I deserve. That's how I want to be greeted from now on.
Don't get your hopes
by
up.
Joe.
Yes, by Joe. I'll bend thy knee.
I'll break thine arm.
No tiki torch for you, unloyal servant. Go back from whence you came with your cargo pants and your polo shirt. March on out of here. Your type is not welcome here in these parts if you not bend thy knee. So April 28, 2017. She goes, good morning. This is Jane. Good morning. I am fed up here. The school is disturbing me for their money, which I don't have. Please, can you help me with
disturbing?
They're disturbing her.
They're knocking on my windows at 2:30 in the morning.
Hey, huh? Hey, you in there? You awake? Yay.
Sounds that way.
Yep.
Yes.
Please, can you help me with $1,500?
Whoa.
We've gone up for like $1 and $200 to $1,500.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite the jump. And she hasn't gotten anything anyway so far.
No.
So going to the quantum leap of $1,500.
Yeah. Let's see. So I go, I was, but before that, she had written, don't doubt me, I can hurt you. I quote, I go, what do you mean you can hurt me? And then she said, no, she goes, I mean, I can hurt you. And I said, oh, I was having doubts about that.
Yeah.
Then April 29th, she writes, good morning. How was your night? I go, okay. I kind of thought we were done. Surprising to see you back, to be honest. Because we've had problems. She goes, our is forever, darling. My internet got exhausted. tired.
Oh, I can't do this anymore. I got
enough of the BS. Yeah. Just once, can we have one honest relationship online?
It went,
I'm feeling old dial-up right now.
Yes.
My internet got exhausted. I just borrowed another money.
What, are you using Lyra now?
I know. Certainly not using a dictionary.
So I go, I was having doubts, to be honest. She goes, honey, why will you have doubt about me? I just wanted you to know that you don't need to doubt me. Just try and have the trust in me and never let me down because I will never do that for you. Just try and trust me because I'm not here to get you hurt. No, I'm here to take your money. Business is business. I mean, if you happen to get hurt, sorry.
I want your dough, see?
Like a gangster. Mm. But that's the thing about these scammers, is always trust. They want, you can never question.
Yeah.
You know, it's not trust Ronald Reagan, me? Trust but verify. Yeah. It's just trust. You don't need to verify.
Yeah, right.
I'd prefer if you didn't, actually.
Yeah, that would be much better for me.
Yes. She goes, just try and trust me because I'm not here to get you hurt, babe. Just try and make me happy because I will always make you happy. Just try and help me put about the money I lend for my school so that I won't get dismissed from school. Honey, please, I need your help. I'll be very happy if you try and help out. I go, hun, if you want this to work, you need to give me time. I've been through a lot recently, and you disappearing has made everything so cloudy and uncertain.
Yeah.
She goes, if you really know you want me, you won't doubt me, and you will do what I want because you won't let me get hurt and never let me down over here. Babe, just try and do what I want, okay? I'll always do what you want as well.
Really?
Oh.
Really? Never doubt me because I will never do that to you as my man, as you need to help me out so fast because I don't want to get dismissed at school, okay?
She's working as quickly as she can because she sees that you're trying to stall and want to take your time. So she's throwing everything at you to try to get this moving.
And she's always tried to move fast.
Yeah.
Which makes this much more difficult for me.
I understand it. But, you know, for her, you know, that's the last thing she needs to hear is, I want to take my time. I want to reach. Oh, no. Look. Just
now, keep in mind, on day one, she asked for money.
Yeah.
Remember iTunes gifts?
Oh, yeah.
We're a month in. She still hasn't gotten anything. This is way longer than she thought this was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I say, really? Really? Really?
Oh, no.
Jane, really? You really just triggered me. Really?
Oh, no. It's back.
I had another keystroke.
That's funny.
You got triggered.
I got triggered.
Really?
Really? She goes, what do you mean? Hold on. Let's pause while Pip laughs. It's okay.
Enjoy. I wish we could had a camera that we could get the expression on her face when you pull this stuff.
It would probably show a person with a beard.
Yes, it would. Dark glasses.
I don't think that person would have bosoms.
Oh, no, they're still there.
Yeah. She goes, what do you mean? Are you saying you don't trust me anymore? Explain yourself to me and let me know. I go, I don't know, but when you pressure me, it triggers my medical condition.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
That's brilliant because if she knows she has to push, she knows that you're going to sit there and want to really research this. And she also has the problem if she pushes, it's going to trigger this condition.
She'll never make her king upset.
Oh, God.
You're just like such
she's got problems.
Little egg. You know?
This fake problems. Davin is a fragile. Leg.
Yeah. If she pushes too hard, oh no! I correct.
I've been
shell.
Triggered.
Oh, that's funny.
I go. I don't know, but when you pressure me, it triggers my medical condition. She goes, "What happens to your health? Are you okay?" I go, "Not really. I suffered a keystroke. Apparently, the pressure you put on me triggered it. I was in a coma, which is why I disappeared for a while. I had vivid and wild dreams. My doctors have told me I need to cut you out of my life. They would be upset to know that we are still in contact. I need to figure it all out. We'll take a break."
This is Davin's Den.
This is Davin's Den.
All right. Well, we'll continue with scamming scammers. So I tell her I've suffered a keystroke and my doctors don't want me in contact with her any longer.
Yeah, she's a major setback for you.
She really is. So she goes, to be honest, darling, you caused it.
What?
You took things so hard. I asked for just $200, but you were treating me like a slave during our argument.
A slave.
A slave.
Go fetch me a pitcher of water.
Yeah.
Okay. I think maybe that happened. Please, I need you to be in good health and be fine. We should both be fine. This my wishes for this relationship. I love you with all my life, but you keep doubting me. Please, darling, for God's sake, please, and please send me the $1,500 today. That's what Jesus would want.
I want you to be healthy. Please, get your stuff together and send me the money.
So that I can be in a good situation with my school, and I will have time for you all the time. You need me, and I will always make you happy. Just send me the money, and you will surprise of what we'll do for you. I don't respond. Are you there? Talk to me, my king. Hey! So I don't respond to her. That was April 30th or something. So May 1st, I write back. I must have been in a coma when I whipped you. When I raped you. Because she said I treated her like a slave.
Oh, yes.
So I said, I must have been in a coma when I whipped you, when I raped you, when I sold your children to another slave owner.
That is some sleepwalking.
Clearly, I've been a brute to you. Yes, I'm sure I have caused my health issues and hyperbole like this had nothing to do with it. What do you think of that?
She doesn't know what hyperbole means.
Good point. Well, she has Google.
Yeah, and she doesn't use.
She is Gigi. She's a Google girl.
Oh, that's true.
May 4, 2017. I write her. I go, "Are you alive?"
Yeah, really. She's not answering.
Yeah, you would think she would respond, but it's email now, so the impetus isn't there, I guess.
Yeah, but there's $1,500 on the line. You'd think she'd get back to you.
You would hope. May 10th, she writes, "I miss you so much, darling. I'm not happy here. If you're helping me, if you are helping me with $1,500, please send it to this info. Name." Oja Olawatoyan Stella.
Irish gal.
Sure.
Really? Really?
Really. Country Nigeria, Lagos, zip code 234. Please, I wish to see the info very, and if you're not helping, just let me know. Thanks, I know you will. I'm not commanding you, and if you can't, just tell me.
Not too much pressure.
No. May 11th, she writes, hi, good morning. I go, I assumed we were broken up.
Nah.
May 13th, she writes, no, I told you about what I'm facing here. Are you sending me the money or not?
I think she's under pressure from somebody.
Yeah, really.
She's got bills to pay, too, Joe. Yeah. This hut ain't going to pay for itself.
The manager's on her now.
Sure. So I go, hey. May 14th, she writes, no, I told you about what I'm facing here. Are you sending me the money or not? I go, hi. May 15th. She writes, hello, it seems you're not ready to help me. I go, it seems you're focused on only one thing. That is not what a fruitful relationship grows from. That was Belinda who, remember when the man took over, said this relationship was not fruitful.
Right. Oh, I forgot that turn of a phrase.
Yes.
Nice.
A little throwback there for you, kids.
I like your recycling.
Thank you. I do my scamming green. It's green energy scamming.
Funny.
Because they don't get the green. Anyway, she goes, I told you what I need and what I need for, but you don't show that you love me. I go, I think you and I have very different opinions on what love is.
I'm not saying she's a gold digger.
How's the rest of that song go?
No, I can't say that now.
She goes, I will talk more about this, but I'm tired of borrowing Wi-Fi and the school. Please, just help me out so that I can have time for you, please. And if you can't help me, tell me now. I go, I would help my one true love, a woman who is devoted to me and to a future with me.
Oh, pray tell.
I gotta chum the water a little bit.
Yeah, and she's like, what? Who's that?
She goes, are you saying I'm not your good woman to you? If you can't help me, tell me your mind.
Tell me your mind.
I go, I don't know. You could be, but you're not showing the softer side of you as of late.
As of late. A little bit abrupt, to tell you the truth.
Get back on your A game. I want to be romance.
Yes,
fake
right.
Davin wants a little loving.
Yeah, wants a little loving.
She goes, but I told you what I'm facing here. Are you helping me or not? She's just copy and pasting, I think. I go, you act like I'm not facing challenges. Really? 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 You don't even really ask, really.
It's her fault. She said a trigger word.
Oh, no. He's off.
This type of medical ailment that makes me type really. Sure, it could happen.
But that would be the ailment that you would get.
Yes.
Like, if you were going to get Tourette's, you would come up with really. Yes. Really? Really?
Yes, but it's typing really.
I know. It's hilarious.
And I'll tell you what, I'm still going to play softball. She goes, I know you're facing challenges, but please, darling, try your best and help me with, I beg you, with the name of God, please, my king. I go, Jane, you don't even ask about me. This makes me not want to let you into my heart. I can't send money to somebody who I'm unsure where their heart lies.
She's like rolling her eyes so hard.
She's like, really?
Yeah, really?
She goes, I never lie to you, darling. It's just bad. I'm so much disturbed here. Please, my darling. I'm so sorry. Kisses. I never said you lied. She keeps up.
Yeah, but see, this is the like guilty conscience coming out.
No, this is what they think it always is. This is where they always have problems because they think they're getting caught in lies.
Yeah,
I haven't played that card yet.
Yeah, it's like what are you saying?
I have other issues with you, sweetie.
Yeah, but she's projecting. It's like, oh, why are you calling me a liar? I didn't. Do you feel like a liar?
Dirty little liar. I go, I never said you lied. I go, it is bad here as well for me personally. I just would like to feel you were there for me emotionally. And honestly, Jane, I don't feel like you are. She goes,
sniffle.
She goes, it wasn't my fault, darling. I'm just so sorry. But, dear, put all the blames on me. I'm so sorry, my. And then she puts emoji for King. How I wish I could be here to, I could be there to say I'm sorry. I go, it is not a sorry I'm looking for, Jane. It's a feeling. I have loved before, and I thought this may be it again. But now I feel a vast cold void between us, larger than the oceans between here and Nigeria.
Wow. That's poetic.
She goes, I know, my king. I had no chance to show my feelings for you, darling, because I'm always disturbed because of the lend money. I still love you, and I will love you forever, my darling. Please, consider me. I go, it feels just like words at this point. It will take time to trust you as I used to, and we'll leave it there.
Wow. She's like, I can't believe this guy is, like, dragging me along.
She should be.
I wonder why she still stays.
I know.
I'm fascinating.
That's probably the
and
answer.
I haven't told her to buzz off yet.
That's probably the answer.
Yeah, she's in for the long con.
Or she loves me.
Uh-huh.
No.
I gotta admit, this character isn't very lovable.
No, not at all.
Other Faith Davin incarnations have been lovable.
Yes, but yeah. This one not so much.
No, this
one's just like a raving loony. Mm.
No, really? All right, thank you guys for hanging out. Remember, like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. You listen to a whole show, uninterrupted, unedited, on demand, davinsden.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.